Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, 15 minutes on the timer, and the subject is masculinity.
Masculinity. You start. Go on.
Yeah, so actually, this you inspired this because you wrote toxic masculinity in one of the show notes for one of the episodes we've already recorded. And I read that and thought that would be a really good talking point. And then I kind of reflected on it for the rest of the day. It kept, like, popping back into my head because masculinity is something that has had a big effect on my life in, I'd say, in quite a negative way. And this is something I've never, ever spoken about before. And to be honest, in a healthier society, I would probably have spoken about this a lot more and probably with a counsellor. But when I was growing up, when I was sort of in my early teenage years, when you go through puberty, I didn't really look like the rest of the boys at school. Like, I looked quite feminine. I had quite long hair. We've spoken about having long hair before, but I used to regularly get mistaken for a girl. Like, it was, my hair was that long and I looked that kind of, I don't know, I just looked feminine, effeminate. And I've always been very slim, very skinny. So I was like this skinny, long haired boy. And then I didn't really, like, develop in the same, like, at the same rate of a, or to my perception, at the same rate as the other boys in my year at school. So, for example, I remember going to a sleepover when I was about 13 or 14, and there was a group of blokes, and one of them had the hairiest legs that I've ever seen. And I remember just staring at his legs, and I literally couldn't get them out of my head for about 6 months afterwards. And all through that time, what I was thinking is, when's this going to happen to me? Like, when are my legs going to become hairy?
Are they that hairy now?
No, and this is the thing. Like, I don't really have very hairy legs, and that's fine. But because I was expecting this transformation in my body, I was waiting for it, and so I constantly felt inadequate. I constantly felt like I'd not achieved this thing that other boys were achieving. Like, I didn't have much facial hair. I mean, you'll know this from now, because during lockdown, I've grown a bit of a beard, and I've been sending you all of our mates pictures of the progress of growing a beard. And one of the reasons for that is because I've never properly grown a beard before, and I've always felt like I can't grow a beard because I'm not manly enough.
No, you have a beard.
Yeah. But it's in my head. I think I can't grow a beard because I'm not manly enough, and therefore I am in some way inadequate.
It goes back through, you know, what is archetypally masculine. Previously, right. You know, what's in everybody's heads is big, hairy man, John Bass. Yeah, masculine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sorry, those who don't know, John Bass is a friend of ours, but he's a giant of a man. He's 6'2", 6'3". And I'm not sure if many people have seen him with his top off, but it's like he has a whole bodysuit of hair, right? He's what people could consider to be masculine. And then it does leave a hole for people a bit like you, Chris, as you say, where your body didn't develop in the same way, and you never had that explosion of body change where muscles came and facial hair came. And I was in the same boat.
Yeah.
I've got to say, I was in the same boat for a long time. I had long blonde hair when I was at school. I would often you know, getting on the bus with my mum, they would say, you know, how's, you know, so I remember specifically a bus driver saying, is she under 13? And then it's crushing because you just like long hair. You don't, you know, it doesn't mean you want to look like a girl. The development, the puberty hadn't kicked in, it kicked in later for me than it did others. Got there in the end, but it's tricky, and it does form your perception of yourself that you carry through into the now, you know, how you feel now, and it's really hard.
That is very that's very
hard to
true.
Rewire.
That is very very true. And I genuinely think, and this is the bit that I've not spoken about to anyone before. I think it's had a massive impact on my self-confidence throughout my whole life. So I always looked quite young as well. So when I was like in my early 20s, I would still be getting ID'd for buying alcohol. I probably looked about 16, 17 when I was 22, yeah. Something like that. And that led to me getting paranoid that at work I wasn't being taken seriously. And I think partly I wasn't being taken seriously because people thought I was a kid. But also, that was massively exacerbated by the fact that I had this thing in the back of my head that says, you look like a child, therefore no one's going to take you seriously. So I didn't put myself forward. I lacked self-confidence in so many ways. And it's only now where I'm in a really quite senior role at work where I'm responsible for a lot of people, a lot of processes, a lot of things, where I finally feel like, to some degree, I am taken seriously and that I'm 36 now.
I think what you experienced was probably genuine. Probably people did think that about you, if you're being 100% honest. I remember going into a meeting with my other podcast about the Fighting Cocker brand wanted to potentially sponsor it. And the girl that was leading the meeting couldn't have been more than 19. And I was sitting there thinking, how is she going to know what she's talking about? Like, you know, She was so young. She looked so young. The reality is she might have been a bit older, but she looked so young. And I couldn't get past it. I couldn't get past the fact that what she was saying was less important than my perception of what she looked like, which is stupid and unfair. And as it turned out, you know, we got the deal and it was no problem. But my own preformations about what people are based on the way they look exist, even though that I know it's unhelpful. So I would say that was probably, you're probably correct in that. That wasn't paranoia. That was probably, people did think that. And it's difficult because clearly you were capable and you wouldn't have got the job in the first place. But when you're battling your own insecurities in a job workspace, it's really hard. But I had the same thing as well. I had the same thing. I don't think it's uncommon when you look younger. And it's not just that. It's actually about social relationships as well. You know, that you won't get approached or you won't be included in things because of the way you look. But it's a part of growing up. The fact that you haven't told anyone or never mentioned that before isn't reflective of its relevance to just you. It's happened to much more people.
Yeah. You're quite right. What did being a man mean to you when you were growing up?
I don't want to go over the same stuff as school and stuff, but I've never really liked physical altercations. Like, I've got involved in, everyone gets involved in fights as they grow up, right? And then as they get older, God willing, you develop a maturity and intelligence that enables you to avoid those situations. So I guess masculinity changed from what you can do physically, how ready you are to not back down, to what masculinity for me now is using my intelligence, not as a man, but as a human being, as an individual. Coming to that realization, that for me now is masculinity, I think. But growing up, it was that obvious stuff. Well, can you, certainly in my school and in my social groups, you know, in my early, late teens, are you willing to get involved in this situation? And even if it looks like it's not going to go your way, are you not willing to back down? And that in the most rawest form is I guess what masculinity meant when I was in my teens, late teens and at school and stuff. And it's, you know, it's about the people.
It's quite primeval, really.
Yeah,
isn't
I
it?
Think so. I mean, that's. I guess I didn't understand it. I didn't understand the true meaning of it, or what it could mean for me. I just saw it as what it was. What was around me is, you know. I remember there was one time in a pub. It's called the Big Red Pub in Holloway, and me and my brothers were playing pool. Brother Ryan, my little brother Alex, and I were playing pool. And we had like flat caps on, Harrington jackets, not all the same, but you know, it's similar. We all looked similar, you know. And I remember a bloke come up to me and goes, "You guys are really scary." And I was like, what are you on about? Like, because obviously I'm definitely one of the least scariest people you meet, but I could understand it. My older brother and my little brother, but he said, "You're really, really scary. Like, you know, it feels like something's going to kick off." But all we were doing was playing pool. And I remember at the time thinking, yeah, fucking, we look scary, that kind of thing. I remember chatting to him afterwards and saying, yeah, I mean, it's, after that immediate beam of self-affirmation that this is, that someone else may be intimidated by the way we look. Once that bullshit passed and we began to talk to him, it was like, it was actually his perception of what masculinity is then, because he's projecting what isn't true.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I think. Was your parents masculine? Was your dad a masculine man?
Not especially, but dad's had a thick dark beard, and he's very tall, quite broad, so he kind of looked the archetypal bloke. He also, my dad is a real people person, so he was an accountant, and he had lots of a whole variety of different clients, and he was very popular amongst them, and he was really good at holding conversations and would just get on with all kinds of people. So that was like, that was my role model, was someone who was very chatty, very confident, easy to talk to. And I guess because I felt sort of so self-conscious, I didn't feel like I could go and start a conversation with people. And I've always kind of kept my head down in public situations with people I don't know. And I think that's probably partly as a result of that. And the other thing I'm interested in, Flav, is as a father now, you're a stepfather to a young man. Do you think things have changed?
It's different, and it's impossible for me to answer. I hope things have changed. It feels like society's moved on a little bit, and that, you know, that what is a man or what is a woman is completely grey now. And you know, you just look at these movements, especially in the LGBT plus, that actually what you are isn't defined by what society used to think, and what you are is defined by how you feel. And, you know, there are many people that get irritated by that stuff, but I think it's important. So hopefully society's moved on so that he doesn't have to prove himself in the way that lots of boys did when I was my age, when I was his age, or a little bit older than that, because he's 10 at the moment, so he's going into secondary school.
Yeah.
But also I live out in a very rural area. You know, his school at the moment, primary school, he is one of only 8 people in his entire year group. So there's something like 40 kids in the entire school, and that is a different environment. And he doesn't have to. He's not being challenged, and he's going to go into a school, a secondary school that isn't gigantic, that doesn't have the challenges that you find in inner city areas. My hope is that he won't have to. But the other side to that is, eventually, you do have to go into the real world, and eventually your masculinity will be tested. And if it hasn't been tested at school, then perhaps you won't have the necessary tools to properly deal with that situation. And one of the things I'm grateful for my school years is is being able to appreciate when, be able to react correctly when something happens or it's about to kick off or you're challenged in some way. I was better equipped to deal with that in the real world than if I hadn't gone to my Highbury Grove school. And so, yeah, that those tests need to happen. That test of masculinity needs to happen as you're in your, you know, becoming a young adult, because that's the real world. And these tests come up, and some people are better at avoiding those instances than others. But inevitably, there will be situations in your life where someone must have a pop at you, especially if you're a man. And you need to, one way or another, figure out how to deal with that. And so I'm really grateful for the fact that he lives in a nice place. He doesn't have to go to a school like we went to in London. But eventually he does have to learn. And he will be confronted with it. So we'll see. I mean, I've toyed with him. Right. I've toyed with taking him to boxing lessons and stuff like that, because it's an excellent way to learn how to defend yourself, but also control your emotions as well. I've thought about doing that, but I don't know. I'm not sure if he'd want to. I'm not sure. Maybe if we'll still think about it, but it's better if he can handle himself than not be able to.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're spot on, because although we might have these kind of ideological beliefs that everyone is just themselves now and they don't have to conform to a particular way, and it's not kind of blue for boys and pink for girls, and girls play with My Little Ponies and boys play with Transformers, that's kind of an outdated way of thinking and parenting, I think. But you're right to say that that's not the real world. That people, there are very traditional values that exist still, and it's very much the norm to hold those traditional values regardless of what we might think of
of course
the world out there. Oh, our 15 minutes are up.